Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC football.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast presented by Ingles, the official supermarket of Gramlich and McLean. It is me. I'm back. I've been a little MIA. Basketball season has been crazy. This March has been insane. But shout out to Mac, who's been handling a good bit of our prospect series and putting together these awesome interviews. If you've missed any of them so far, go check them out. Graham Barton, Braden Fisk, all these different guys. And today we are talking, Jeremiah Trotter we just had. Today we're talking with Nate Wiggins from Clemson. And this guy has been shooting up a lot of draft boards. I've seen him basically in almost every first round at this point. I've seen a lot of number 22 to the Eagles, which I think would be a very exciting fit for him. And Mac talks to him about kind of his evolution and also the combine and running a 4.28, which is absolutely insane what he's done, a 4.28 40-yard dash, 36-inch vertical. He is only 173 pounds, 6'1", 173. That's what I've seen and read about him in terms of kind of the main weakness is maybe putting on some weight. But you can't overlook the 40 time, and that's the really important thing. And I also liked what he said, where he said, you know, the main thing at the combine was people just figuring out who I am because I'm only 20 years old, which I thought was really telling. So he's definitely a young guy. You can tell that, but the potential is absolutely there. And to have a 4.28 40-yard dash is something that you cannot make up for. Like that is enough to get you taken very high. So excited for Nate Wiggins and the possibility. I also saw some really, you know, thinking back on his season, I saw some crazy stats about what he did against Florida State when he was up against Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson, not allowing a single catch on five targets and broke up one of those passes. He also did a really good job on Tez Walker when Clemson played North Carolina. And here's his stats for the year. On the season, Nate Wiggins only allowed 18 completions across 41 targets worth 176 yards and one touchdown with two picks. And he had one penalty called on him all season long. Pretty crazy when you look at Nate Wiggins. So excited for this interview. Eric McLean does an awesome job. Let's get to a message from Ingles, and then we will talk to Nate Wiggins.
Did you know Ingles only sells USDA Choice and Prime cuts of meat? Maybe it's time to reward yourself. Our butchers cut all our meat fresh in the store every day. Grass-fed, organic, you name it. Not only that, we'll even cut it to order just the way you like it. And we grind meat fresh in the store multiple times a day. It's all in the bag. That's the best meat in town for the best folks in town. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Nate Wiggins, my brother, great to see you, man. I'm glad you slowed down for a second. I thought it'd be like a blur behind you running that 4.28 there, man, just a blazing speed. How's life been, man, since that moment? I have to think pretty good.
I'm feeling good. Just the process has been good, man. I'm just soaking it all up. just getting to it, for real.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's pretty surreal just to, you know, be living this, because that's what we all dream, right? At the end of the day, you know, as a football player, we all want to go and be at the highest stage. And obviously you did that in college, and now this is what's next. How about leading up to it? We're going to kind of be all over the place a little bit here with our time, but, you know, training and stuff, you're a fast guy. You're used to that. But how was the training compared to, you know, your normal football training?
Yeah, it was totally different. It was just like a lot of stuff I didn't did in college that I had to do for just the combine process. It was different, but I mean, it worked out in my favor, so it was good.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You're a Georgia guy, Atlanta guy. Where'd you go train? Where were you when you were doing your combine stuff?
I was at XBE, Fort Lauderdale.
Very good. A lot of guys go down there, right? Is that just the track? Like, that's where all the fast guys go, or what?
Yeah, if you're fast and you want to get faster, you know you need to go.
Are you guys racing each other down there? I mean, how does that work? Because it's a little bit different, right? Because, you know, you're so used to a team setting for so long, but now you're on your own and you got to wake up, you know, if you want to go and work out and things like that nature. So what's kind of the, I guess, the bond that's created with guys that, you know, are across the country down there?
Yeah, it really just like all people from like across the country, like you said. It's just the bun is like we all trying to get to the same thing, and it's like it's just a brotherhood for real. It's just like we created a brotherhood there for like 2 months. We are like we gonna see each other every day, so like we might as well create a brotherhood. Right. So
might as well be friendly. What was there anybody in particular that maybe you got a little closer with? It's always fun for me to kind of hear these stories.
Kenny Logan and him.
What drew you to him? Yeah, what happened? How'd y'all become tight?
He's just a funny guy, man. Like he just like me, goofy, always laughing. So like he passionate about the game. So yeah.
Who was faster? Who had the faster 40?
Well, me.
No doubt about it. Hey, when did you know? Because we've seen we've seen glimpses of it, and I want to touch on those things now. But I mean, did you know that you were gonna run sub 4.3?
I knew I was going to, like, since I always knew, like, I was going to run 4.2. Like, that was my passion. Like, I knew I could run 4.3, but I ain't want to, like, I just want to hit 4.2. That's the only thing I was going for.
What was going through your head when you saw that or heard that pop up in Indianapolis?
When I heard 4.29, I was actually mad because I really want, like, a 4.25. Then I couldn't run no more. I wanted to run it again. But I couldn't run no more my hip flexor, so I was pretty mad at myself.
Were you? See, isn't that crazy though? I mean, that's fast as hell, dude. You're blazing and you're ticked off. You wanted to be faster. What's up with that, man?
I just wanted to run the 4.25, 4.26. It just looked better. It just looked better.
Okay. I tell you what, 4.28 is pretty sick. And it raised a lot of eyebrows and got a lot of people excited. You know, just going through that process, man, because the combine is, it's such a long deal, right? Like a lot of people just think it's on the field, the drills, the jumping, the run, all those different things, but it's so much more than that. Can you walk me through your time in Indianapolis and just different things that you were doing while you were there?
It's just like the medical, you just be just at the doctor's like 10 a.m. to like 7 a.m. at night. So you just got to be like patient and you can't let it stress you out. I mean, and, like, the meeting part of it, like, you meet probably, like, 20 teams day and night. So it's just, like, me really just got to be focused, keep the main thing, like, just keep football and whatever you striving for, the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What were some of those meetings like? I mean, are they getting to know you? Are they trying to see how much ball you know? Or are they just, you know, finding out who Nate Wiggins is? I mean, what are those things, you know, like when you're sitting down with those teams?
I mean, most of my meeting was just finding out who Nate Wiggins was since I'm, like, 20 years old. So that was, like, I mean, basically I knew, like, I know a lot of ball, so they already knew that. So they were basically, like, trying to find out, like, who I am as a person for real.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I'm sure that was a ton of fun seeing those guys being in that moment. And, you know, it's elite, right? Like, there's only a handful of people invited to this thing, and especially when you get position to position. How cool was that? And how did you find out? I mean, did you get an email, a phone call? How did you find out you were invited to the NFL Combine?
I got a phone call. When I got the phone call, I was like, I was pretty, like all the hard work I did, it paid off. And I was happy for myself.
That's amazing.
You know, I mean, we growing up watching it every year.
Yeah.
So, like, being able to participate in it and, like, you know, there's millions of folks watching it, that was big for me.
Yeah, they're tuned in. They want to see that movie. And you put on a show. Yeah. You put on a show, absolutely. Yeah. Let's get into your play a little bit, man. And let's talk about Clemson, because when you put on the tape, I mean, it's the definition of a cornerback. I mean, you're everything that people want. You've got the great size, obviously the speed. You're silky smooth with your feet and your hands, man. That you can just mirror guys really well. And I saw a quote the other day. I'm not sure when you said it or when they posted it or whatever. But you said, hey, I want to be man-to-man. I want to look them in their eyes. I want to be right there and talk to them. Where does that come from? Where does that mindset and how you play the game come from?
I really think it comes from just where I grew up from, just being like just a lot of brothers. Just my mindset is just like, I got to get it. Like, we got to go get it. So I feel like where I come from, the area I come from, that it just made my mindset think like that.
I love that, man. And then how about when you're on the field? I mean, why are you so comfortable in man-to-man and almost, I would assume, prefer to be in man-to-man?
Because I know, like, a lot of receivers can't run past me, and I'm a good technical sound cornerback, so I know, like, you're not going to get me with a lot of stuff, so I know, like, I can be pressed up I can be in somebody's face and they ain't gonna like that.
They're not ready for that. They're not ready for that action.
Yeah. I'm ready for that. A lot of cornerbacks don't do what I do. So
yeah, I love that, man. And is that something like, I mean, have you had that since you've been playing the game? Did you, you know, develop with coach at Clemson? I mean, where did that really confidence? I mean, it's oozing out of you right now when we're talking about this in your game from a man-to-man perspective come from?
I actually used to play receiver. My confidence just came from receiver.
Yeah.
I just used to like run past a lot of guys. So, I mean, I just started confident. And when I switched to cornerback, my instinct just of routes, just, I mean, how like my instincts of routes.
Yeah.
Now, I guess that's where like my confidence come from. Mm. Just me knowing the ins and outs about receiver. So it helped me like cover routes too.
Right, right. So you can kind of anticipate what these guys are going to do and based on the release or the hand movement, whatever they're trying to do. When did you make that switch? Was that in high school or what?
My senior year of high school.
Oh, was it? So you played receiver for a long time. Why did you decide to switch to cornerback?
I mean, a lot of folks are telling me it's not that many cornerbacks that like can run 4.2s, 4.3, and that can lock people down. So, I mean, I just switched. Like, I seen there's a lot of receivers that can run fast, but there's not a lot of cornerbacks that can lock down the side of the field.
Wow.
So I knew I can have a better chance.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, an absolute business decision. So did you play both ways before and then just kind of commit, or have you just exclusively? Yeah, so okay.
Yeah, I played both sides in high school.
Okay. So it wasn't like a cold turkey thing. Hey, I'm playing this out of nowhere and I'm picking it up. I'm a 5-star immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, I started corner, though. It was cold. I used to play safety. I ain't played corner.
And that's a different beast, safety. Right? Tell people why that is so different. Because safety, it's almost like a bit of a net, you know, where you have, you know, you're right up on somebody. How different is that position from each other?
Just corner, you just got to be like, you got to make little mistakes. Like, you got to have a mindset that's like, somebody going to catch the ball on you. So you got to, like, you got to go to the next play. And safety is more like, you covering the most of the field. You really don't have a man. So it's like, it's like different. You got to have a different mindset for real.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And you know, one thing that I think is interesting that, you know, we talk about here and we've been talking about your coverage and your speed and size and things of that nature. But I mean, you're a physical guy too. Like you'll hit people. You're not afraid of contact. And that's maybe a little bit different from the corner position. Maybe those safety roots. Why do you take such pride in being such a physical guy at the position as well?
Because I know like receivers don't like to get hit. And I know like when they get hit, they tend to tense up. So I know like if I keep hitting them, they ain't gonna give up at some point. Yes, sir.
Well, man, before we jump into some specific games here, just talk to me a little bit about the importance of, you know, the lineage. I mean, Clemson has been on a run where, man, they're producing some great defensive backs, and you're just the latest and greatest, what we assume is going to be in the first round from those guys. Do you think about that? Is that something where, obviously, I'm sure it drew you to Clemson, but also kind of taking that next step and waving that flag for the Tigers at the next level? Is that something that's important to you, kind of that brotherhood of Clemson defensive backs?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's just like, you know, Clemson's, you know, like you said, it's Clemson, a brotherhood. So, like, I mean, everything about the league, it's just going to bring us together closer. So I feel great about it.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, man. All right, walk me through a couple of these plays, and we'll get you out of here. I'm grateful for your time. When you're hawking these guys down, and, you know, we had the Miami play where you're forcing the fumble, and then the North Carolina play where you guys actually got it and got the touchback. What's going on through your mind? Because that's what so many people are – using as an example to say, this guy loves football. Like, look what he will do for his team. So what was going through your head when you see those guys just taking off?
I mean, I really don't be, I don't really have like, I'd be going, I'd be like, I just got to go get them. Like, I got to show my speed. I got to go kill him. So, yeah.
And then you did. I mean, what are you thinking though? As you're getting close, you're like, I can get him. Like, I have enough room here to go catch this
guy.
When
I get closer, it'd be like, yeah, he don't even see me coming. So I'm going to get him.
And then how about the understanding though, to get the ball too? I mean, is that just instinct? Are you coached on that? Like, how do you, because you got him twice, both times you got the football out.
But like when I'm running behind, I always look like if he's carrying the ball, like, wobbly or he got it tight. So sometimes I know like when ball carriers, when they don't see, like the defender, they had the ball like loose. So I know, like, if you don't see me coming, I'm just swipe at it every time.
Yeah, yeah, it's game over. And I mean, you had a lot of room to look, brother. You had a long way to go, but you got them, and you got there. You ripped that thing out. Give me some highlights at Clemson, man, because you had such a great career. You had some amazing plays. I remember, you know, two something years ago, sitting on the desk with you at Charlotte, talking about that crazy 100-yard pick six that you had. Give me some highlights, some things that you'll just never forget while you were at Clemson.
Just running down the hill. I mean, that just one of one. Like, that's just like, if you don't come to Clemson, I mean, you will never feel that feeling. So, but that's just one thing I ascribe on. Like, I'll miss forever. And just playing in Death Valley. I mean, I feel like it's different. I mean, I've been in a lot of college games. I feel like Death Valley just different. It's just like the fans is just interact with you. Like, it's just a different type of atmosphere for real.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I'm right there with you, brother. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about my first time coming around that hill, seeing all those fans, and it's just, I mean, it's crazy. It's insane. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Last one for you, brother. How did Clemson prepare you for this moment? How did the Tigers, Coach Sweeney, all your defensive coaches, how did they get you ready to take this next step to go to the NFL?
Just maturing me to be a better man. Just like preparing me like every day, coming meetings on time, working hard on just being a leader. So I feel like everything we work on, everything we do, the ins and outs we put in at Clemson. I mean, anybody that come out there, they're going to be ready for the next level. Yeah. Even if it's not football, I feel like you'll be ready for it.
Yeah. I love that. Well, man, I appreciate your time. Great talking with you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Nate Wiggins for joining us. Really appreciate his time and talking with Eric McLean, and appreciate Eric McLean for how he's handled a lot of these and done an awesome job. A few more prospects left that we're going to talk to. I'll just give you a hint. Big time name, one more big time name from Clemson and a big time name from NC State. So stay tuned for that. And then towards the end of April, some more draft talk with some experts that we will bring on the show and talk a little more ACC draft. And then somehow it's going to be time for our summer guest series, which I just can't wait for. And we've always had so much fun with those. We've always had some really exciting guests that give some unique perspectives and stories. And so that's going to be fun. Make sure you stay tuned for our summer guest series. Shout out to Ingles. Could not do any of this without them. We appreciate them so much. Go check out your local Ingles. That would be a favor to us if you could check them out. And if you shop there all day, every day, like we do, thank you. We appreciate that. Go subscribe on YouTube. That really helps us, and you'll never miss a video. Give us some comments, rate and review on Apple Podcasts, the OGs over there as Max says. But until next time, we'll see y'all.